Jim Carafano, the Vice President for the Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation, is joining us. Mr. Carafano, welcome to Mornings on the Mall. How are you this morning?
Wow, that's an awesome lineup you guys got.
Yeah, and James Carafano.
No, but he gets to kick it off. You're the most important one, see?
I'm just the only one that would get up early.
No, that's not it.
He's got us figured out.
Darn it. I want to talk to you about ISIS. You know, Donald Trump wanted, he wanted a plan to defeat ISIS, don't we all? And he requested this plan, and he is calling for a blueprint to defeat ISIS and Syria. And he's got a document that details possible military, diplomatic, and financial measures to help achieve that goal. What can you tell us about this?
Well, of course, the president's famously for saying, I don't want to tell my enemies what I'm going to do. So how much he actually releases of this and how much he makes public will be interesting, because that would kind of send a signal about how much he wants to reassure people that this is his number one priority and he's taking care of it, and how much not wanting to telegraph what's going on. So there's a couple of things that we would be looking for. One is not just the physical defeat of ISIS in Raqqa, which is the capital of the caliphate, or the alleged caliphate, and Mosul, in taking down the Black Flag, demonstrating that this is not a legitimate caliphate, this is not the march of history, this is a humiliating defeat for the organization. But then what comes after that? How do you keep Iraq stable so you don't create space for ISIS to come back? How do you keep the problem in Syria from bleeding over and destabilizing the rest of the Middle East? So those are all things that, and then how do you deal with the other potential places where the foreign fighters and ISIS are likely to outflow to. And people forget that the whole reason for the executive order to begin with was not on the current threat, but focused on the future threat, mm-hmm. which is the countries where people are likely to flow, and then from there try to operate from and kind of get ISIS back in the game.
What are you hearing about Mattis's plan? I mean, we don't want to give great detail, and the president made it very clear that he doesn't want
right.
to give a lot of details, because he doesn't want to send a message to the enemy, here's how we're coming to get you. But do you have some sense of how it will be different from what we've done in the past?
Well, I mean, what my expectations would be is one, there would be less risk aversion in a sense in helping the U.S. military speed the physical defeat of ISIS in Iraq and in Iraq and Mosul and in Raqqa and Syria. That would be, I think, one element. That the faster we take down the Black Flag, the better off we're going to be. So I think that's one element we can expect. There's got to be something in the plan about how does the U.S. continue to support and stabilize Iraq, not just against the space for the return of ISIS, but the continued expansion of Iranian influence. That's got to be part of the plan. How do you shore up the critical allies in the region, not just Israel, but also Jordan, re-engage with Egypt? And then what do you do about places like Libya? What do you do about places like Somalia? And then I think there'll be a component is, how do we really hammer and dry up the money trail? Every possible way they can raise money from the illicit trafficking in goods and services to fundraising and everything else. So I think you would expect all those elements to be part of the plan. My suspect is initially it will be a very Middle East-focused plan that would be, to me, kind of the key of phase one is, you know, you want to deal with the heart of the problem, and the heart of the problem is in the Middle East. Now, there's extensions of that in South Asia and other places, but the Middle East is the heart of the problem. One of the things that's impressive, people forget is we actually have a really top-notch national security team here, not just Mattis, but Tillerson's solid, Kelly's solid, H.R. McMaster's has just joined them, but he's great. So in all this kind of, you know, obsessing about tweets and everything else, and people forget that there's actually a highly qualified senior national security
team. Sure is, yeah.
And even though they don't have all the people they need underneath them, they're already starting to crank out stuff. And I think that's quite impressive, actually.
One of the things that we're going to hear tonight in the president's address to Congress is apparently a request for $54 billion in additional funding for the Department of Defense. That's a ton of money. Where do you think it will go?
Well, we should put that in context. It's actually only $18 billion over the number that Obama requested. But Obama's budget request is, in a sense, a phony budget, because Obama had no intention of breaking the BCA, which were the overall spending caps, which would never permit him to spend that. So it's $54 billion above what the limit. So So it would be, if they, even though it's only, it would be a real increase, but that means that the president's going to have to go to Congress. He's going to have to get out of the budget caps.
Well, he claims it's going to be paid for by cuts out of the State Department, where they may face a 30% cut in budget. He wants to do away with a $2 billion budget over at EPA and perhaps fire 3,000 people. He's got a whole list of things that he wants to do that may would, if you get it from someplace else, wouldn't that be okay? You wouldn't need to go back to Congress?
Well, I mean, I think he just stole the Heritage plan, so, you know, I don't know what the deal is there. But essentially, we've always argued that, that this is a, even without increasing federal spending, this is doable if you just spread the discretionary cuts across the rest of the federal government. You can plus defense back up, which is needed. And the reality is, and I have big Twitter arguments with this and my friends online, is in many of those other departments, including the State Department's, What you're essentially eliminating is all kind of Obama's pet programs that really didn't do very much. You're not actually cutting into core, even cutting into core government services. So I think we'll be fine.
Are we going to see a showdown between Donald Trump and Paul Ryan? Is that going to come? Because Paul Ryan is very conservative and he wants to really cut. And he's also looking to make some changes to those sacred cows of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And Trump is leaving those alone.
No, I don't think so, because I think everybody recognizes that dealing with entitlement is essential. I mean, essentially, if you don't do anything, eventually entitlements eat the entire federal budget. There's no money for anything else. You don't have to deal with it in New York Minute. I think Trump's committed to getting to that. I think he's also committed to tax reform. But I think what we're seeing here is you know, kind of in a sense of realism, is let's get a budget out of the box. Let's do the crucial thing first, okay, fix defense, get spending under control, and then we'll work into these other things. So I actually think they're going to work together on this. I mean, I think the notion that they would get it all done in year one is ridiculous anyway. So to me, it's a kind of a realistic a step-by-step approach, and I do believe there'll be support for that in the Congress. Not that it's going to be an easy fight, because everybody's got to, you know, it's easy to say, well, we'll just cut other elements of discretionary budget, but then everybody's got, you know, a piece of that they want to do. But I think if the leadership in the House and the Senate and the President join forces on this, I think they can do this. You know, there are people that McCain and others say, hey, look, the increase in defense spending is not enough, which is true. But there's two issues there. One is if your strategy is to just get it from other discretionary spending, there's a limit to how much you can get. And the other thing is, there's a limit to how much the Defense Department can additional money they can actually spend in 1 year.
James Carafano, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. James Carafano, Vice President for the Institute for the National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation.